Hansen with us and their three children, missionaries to Italy, sent out by the Summit Baptist Bible Church down in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. It's always a joy to have missionaries that we support with us, and we've supported the Ransoms for a number of years as they minister over in Italy. They're in the shadow of Rome and the Vatican, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful to be part of that ministry and thankful to hear about that today as Daniel will be preaching this morning, and then this evening we'll be seeing their more about their ministry itself. At this time, Elizabeth's going to come and play her flute for us. She comes from a very musical family, and she's going to play, and then Daniel will follow with the message this morning.
Thank you. back at IBC, if my records are correct and they're not infallible, so there's a possibility that I'm mistaken, but the first time we were here was 7 years ago, almost to the day. Now, I don't have that great of a memory, but I do remember that because I think it was that first time we were here. My wife was due with our first daughter, Christina. She was actually past her due date, and we'll be celebrating Christina's 7th birthday this month in just two and a half weeks. And talking with Mike at the time, we were concerned my wife was going to play the flute. We were wondering how many flautists that are past their due date go into labor when they're playing the flute. So thankfully it did not happen. We've had two situations along those lines after Christina. We have three children. You'll be meeting them tonight as we share more in more detail about our ministry and about our family. Christina was born about 7 years ago while we were living in the Clark Summit area. Her sister was born about 4 years ago, and she's the one, we didn't make it to the hospital in time. She was the one born in the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts. So she's our little munchkin. And it might get interesting when it's time for her to be baptized. We're not sure if she needs to be dunked or sprinkled. With our third, we have three children. Our third is a boy, Mark, and again, you'll get to see pictures of them tonight. He was born 18 minutes after getting to the hospital, so thankfully, the Lord has given us three healthy yet interesting deliveries. As Pastor mentioned, we are going to share tonight about our ministry. We've been in Italy as a family for about 4 years, so we just finished our first full term. We're back in the States for about 8 months, reporting to our supporting churches, taking the opportunity to take some classes, further our education. My wife's trying to finish a degree that she started when we were back in the States, and I'm in seminary trying to learn, to grow. It's been a good time here in the States. We're a little over halfway through, but again, we'll share more about that. Tonight, we'll tell you how we got to Italy if you're not familiar with that story. So I personally invite you to come back tonight, 7 o'clock, correct, Pastor? 7 o'clock. This morning, we'll be opening God's Word. Before I do that, I just wanted to point out we have a display table right close to the men's bathroom out in the entryway. I invite you to stop there for two reasons. One is so you can get a copy of our new and updated prayer card with all our bright, shiny faces, and mine's on there as well. So make sure you visit our table to do that. And there's also a little notebook if you're interested in staying in touch with us. We try and send out email updates on a regular basis. For those of you who want to pray in more detail and pray in an updated fashion, there's a notebook out there for you to put your email address in there, and we'll be able to stay in touch that way. And you have my word that we will not sell your email address for profit. You won't start getting more spam on our account, but we would invite you to do that if you're interested in staying in touch with us. This morning I have the opportunity, the privilege really, to open God's Word and to share with you a passage that the Lord has used in my heart and mind and is using to challenge my thinking and make sure my thinking is correct and therefore my actions are correct. And I appreciated what one of the pastors said this morning. We are here expecting to be changed. We invite that. God's Word, God's Spirit using God's Word to change us. That's what it means to be a child of God. Before we open the text this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you feeling overwhelmed this morning? Anybody feeling overwhelmed this morning? Feeling overwhelmed can happen for a variety of reasons. I think there are three kind of major areas that sometimes happens in. Definitely in a negative sense, some of us just feel overwhelmed just because we're too busy. Anybody feel too busy? Because of our outreach of radio and broadcasting that I'll share with you tonight, I try and stay in touch with what's happening here in the U.S. on the front of radio, and I know this church is involved in a radio ministry, so that shouldn't be a new, totally new concept to you. But as you may be aware, the entertainment culture, the entertainment landscape is changing. There are so many more options available for entertainment than there used to be just 5 years ago. And the big question within the radio industry is, what's the future of radio? What's the future of radio here in the U.S.? A lot of people are concerned about their jobs, and rightly so. We've seen a trend in radio, larger groups that have been buying up smaller stations, and oftentimes that entails eliminating jobs. Decisions like that made in the name of a higher profit margin. And a lot of times, those individuals that don't lose their job are then expected to do more to cover for the employee or the employees that were let go. And I don't know what industry, obviously, you might work in. Maybe your industry has seen similar trends like that, and you find yourself not only needing to do your job, but now responsible for other responsibilities, and that's just an added busyness. Maybe you feel busy this morning. Maybe you just barely made it here this morning on time and kind of out of breath and never seemed to get a break. Maybe you're sitting here this morning as a mother of young children and you're thinking to yourself, oh, please, don't even talk to me about busy. I will talk to you about what it means to be busy. And if you are or have been a mother of young children, you can definitely identify with what that means. Individuals sometimes have kind of a funny idea about what it means to be a pastor or a missionary, what it means, how busy a pastor or a missionary is or is not. You may have heard this, you may have thought this, but a statement that goes something like this: man, it must be great to be a pastor or be a missionary and only work 1, 2, or 3 hours a week on Sunday. It must be great to be a pastor. You only work one day and it's not even a full day. I know of a missionary pastor over in Africa that he responds to that by saying this. He says, you know, if that premise is true, that it's a great job to be a pastor or missionary because you only work 1 hour or 2 hours a week, then you want to know what the best job in the whole world must be? Being an Olympic sprinter. So I work about 9.6 seconds every 4 years. I think we would all agree that in general we feel busy. And for some reason, for all the technology, all the apps, you know, there's an app for that, for everything you could think of, supposedly promising us to help us save time, we all feel that much more busy. Well, we are busy too. We are not the breed of pastor or missionary that only works 1 day a week. I imagine somewhere in the universe there's been a pastor or missionary that did that, and that's how the stereotype got started. We are not of that breed, and we will share with you tonight what our typical week looks like so you can know and pray better for us. But I'm not here to lecture you this morning about being busy. Busyness is just one of those ways that we can feel overwhelmed. Maybe instead of being too busy, you're overwhelmed because you're just dealing with one situation in your life, but it's just overbearing. You've been in the middle of this situation for a long time. It's painful. It's difficult. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's going to happen. And you don't have any more answers. And you're sitting here just feeling overwhelmed about that. Maybe instead of being overwhelmed in a more negative sense by our busyness or by a specific situation in life, maybe you are overwhelmed by yourself in a little bit more of a good way. Just you're pretty impressed with yourself. I have got it together. Look at me. I'm in church on time, third week in a row. I hope everybody noticed. My clothes match today. My shirt's ironed. I'm looking good. God's pretty lucky. This church is pretty lucky to have me. Maybe that, instead of being overwhelmed by your busyness or a difficult situation, maybe that describes you a little bit more, being overwhelmed by yourself. If you've looked in the bulletin, you've seen the title for this message, It's a servant that is used by God. And what I want to share with you this morning is something I've been challenged with and something that I think we see in God's Word. The servant that is used by God, and I specifically put the word servant, not missionary. If you're not a missionary, you're not off the hook this morning. If you're a child of God, if you call him Lord, you know what that makes you? A servant. And really, the biblical term would even be stronger. It would be a slave. But probably your translation uses more often the word servant. So a servant that is used by God is a servant that is overwhelmed. But the servant that is used by God is not a servant that is overwhelmed because he's too busy. The servant that is used by God is not the servant that is overwhelmed by a crisis. And it's not even the servant that is used by God is not even a servant that's overwhelmed by himself, just so impressed by himself. But the servant that is used by God is the servant that is overwhelmed by God. And I invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to open it to Isaiah chapter 6. You're going to see a passage this morning that says, in other words, shows just this idea. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read about half of the chapter when everything is said and done, but we're going to take it a couple pieces at a time. We're going to see a scene unfolding in this chapter that Isaiah is watching, is allowed to see. We're going to see a description of what he sees. We're going to see his response. This is Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1. I'll read a few of the verses, and then I'll share some things, and then we'll finish reading. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, here are Isaiah's words, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help this morning as we look at his word. Lord, it is an overwhelming thought when our thoughts come back to you and when they come back to a description of you and your glory, and when we then think about the fact that you have brought us into your family, into your kingdom, and furthermore, that you have chosen in this time to work through humans, men, women, boys, and girls, to accomplish your plan on this earth. That is humbling, that is overwhelming. Lord, I pray that you would help me to share what I have been learning, and I pray that this would be beneficial to my brothers and sisters here this morning, and that we would go away from this place having been changed, having had our perspective changed, having been overwhelmed by you. We thank you for this privilege that we have, even to meet here in a public place without fearing being thrown in jail or having our houses burned down while we're here. What a freedom. Please help us not to take it for granted. Please help us in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as I mentioned before, we see this scene here in Isaiah 6. We see this vision that Isaiah is seeing, and really just Isaiah being overwhelmed. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, that's kind of the key word for this morning, being overwhelmed by God, by his holiness, by his glory. There may have been some other synonyms that we could have used instead of the word overwhelmed, but the important thing is that the idea is that this is not routine, what is happening to Isaiah here. This is not run-of-the-mill. This isn't what he had on his calendar to do before lunchtime. This is unexpected. This is like a tidal wave just rolling over Isaiah, engulfing him, just totally overwhelming. Overwhelmed by God, by his glory, by his holiness. And God is overwhelming. God is awesome. Amen? Depending on your translation, you may actually have that word in your copy of God's Word. You may also have a different phrase or a different word. The idea of the fear that God instills in people, in humans. But this idea of awesome, God is awesome. And some of you said amen to that. We have a song, or there is a song that you may know. It talks about our God being an awesome God. God is awesome. We agree with that. Aren't chicken wings awesome? Are we in Eagles country here? We've been on the road so much I kind of lose. Are we more Penn State? What are we here? I'm a Broncos fan, so I'm out of my zone anywhere. But isn't it awesome when your team wins? In baseball, I'm a Royals fan. I don't know if you follow baseball. It's been 29 years since the Royals had made it out of the regular season. And this year, not only did we make it in the postseason, like I'm part of the team. The Royals made it all the way. We made it all the way to the World Series. And I'm not a bandwagoner. I was born in Kansas City. So I have every, like Paul, I'm a citizen of Kansas City. And I said to my wife, I'm taking classes at the seminary. I'm not supposed to stay up late at night. Because then I can't get up early in the morning. I said to Liz, it must be the will of the Lord that I watch these games. It's been 29 years. I'm in the States and I can watch these games. And I had a Hebrew test the morning after the last game of the World Series. I was like, should I watch it? I shouldn't watch it. I turned it on and it was over. I watched the whole thing. And unfortunately, we lost. But it was awesome. The Royals almost, they were one out away from possibly winning. It went to Game 7. That was awesome. Are the Royals and God? Is that what we think? Chicken wings and God? Maybe you don't like wings. Pizza, whatever. Is that what we think? Are they on the same level? I don't think anybody here this morning is going to get up and say, I really think that chicken wings are as great as God. I don't think anybody would say that, but it is interesting how in our language we do that. We interchange terms. I'm not going to hop on a soapbox this morning, but it's interesting to note how we talk about God and how we turn around and talk about other things. I'm guilty of it as well. But God is awesome. God does instill fear. He inspires fear. And we could talk about that. It's a reverent fear. We don't need to live in the fear like of an abusive relationship. But God is God. God is creator of this universe, of this planet. He spoke things into existence. That's breathtaking. It's at the same time beautiful and terrifying. We even think about that when we pray? Who we're talking to? And I know that becomes a rhetorical question because, especially if you've been a believer a long time, man, I think we need to bring our thoughts back to that often. I find it easy to forget who I'm talking to when I pray. If you've ever had the opportunity to talk with someone important, maybe one time you got to meet, maybe it was a politician, maybe an athlete, maybe a celebrity. You were lucky if you could form a sentence and you could control your mouth, without stuttering. And you probably remember that the rest of your life. I got to talk. I said five words once to so-and-so. Yet at any time, the child of God can talk to the creator of this universe. And prayer works. It's not a ritual. It's talking to the creator of the universe. How awesome is that? Well, we see the way Isaiah responds after seeing, after beholding God. He's just overwhelmed. I would use the word speechless. Although literally he's not, he does have a response. But even in the words he uses, in the tone of these words, speechless does, I think, describe, he's overwhelmed. Sometimes we are speechless, but we speak anyways and get into trouble. But Isaiah, woe is me, for I'm undone, I'm finished. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I think the sense of what Isaiah is saying is God is so holy, and I am such a sinner that I really can't guarantee that I'll keep living after having seen God. That's the sense of Isaiah. He's overwhelmed. This is not a trite, a trivial experience for Isaiah. And I think you and I would respond the same way. We would respond in a similar way if we saw God the way Isaiah did. If we saw a vision like that. Seraphim, the posts, shaking. If this building started shaking, it would have your attention. It would have my attention. If smoke started filling this room, we would notice. We would respond in a very similar way if we saw God the way Isaiah did. But in November, can you believe it's November already? In November of 2014, do we see God that way? Does your house shake, smoke fill the house every morning when you have devotions? If that happens, you might want to talk with one of the pastors because you may have an issue at your house. But where do we see God in November of 2014? Where do we see God? In His Word. Where do you and I go to behold God? In His Word. Where does God tell us about Himself? In His Word. We know from creation that there is a God. We know from His book what He's like. Not only does He tell us about Himself, He tells us about us, He tells us about this world. This is where you and I go to behold God. So if we're sitting here this morning somehow less overwhelmed by God than Isaiah was, can we draw the conclusion that God is somehow less awesome than He was back in Isaiah's time? Has God lost some of His awesomeness? Is God less powerful than He was when He spoke this universe into existence? The answer is no. That would be an incorrect conclusion. So there must be another conclusion, right? If we're sitting here this morning not overwhelmed by God or a little less impressed by God than Isaiah was, I would suggest to you what I find in my own life is the reason is that I'm not taking the time to behold God. If you're not familiar with the term, if you don't use the word behold every day, it's this idea of looking. If I'm not overwhelmed by God right now, I'm not looking at God. Because God is still awesome. God hasn't changed. So if I'm not overwhelmed by God, the conclusion is I'm not looking at Him, not taking the time to look at Him. And I'll just very transparently share with you that when I get overwhelmed, not by God, but by busyness, that's a very real temptation I struggle with, neglecting time with God, either by completely not doing it, or maybe rushing through it, almost as a formality, almost as a, hey, got to get this done so I can move on with my day. When I am overwhelmed with busyness, I really struggle with that temptation. I don't know if you do, but if you do, this passage will help redirect your thoughts as it has been with mine. We, as children of God, need to be taking the time to look at Him. If we walk out of here this morning with one action step, what I want to encourage you and exhort you to is take the time, spend the focus, spend the attention to look at God in His Word. And as I kind of titled this, the servant that God uses, the servant that is used by God is the servant that is overwhelmed by God. Now we may start talking about, okay, I need to be taking time to look at God, but read his word. How much, what's enough, right? How much do I have to do? What's enough to get a passing grade? What's just enough? Yeah, I hear that question, and I've thought it before. I've asked it before, and now that I'm married, I kind of make a correlation. What if I went to my wife and said, how much time would you say I need to spend with you on a daily basis to consider this a real marriage? That's kind of a weird question. My wife would be like, where's this conversation going? But thinking along those lines might betray where we are still at in our heart of hearts. Just doing just enough. If you were in the Sunday school session of the series of this video series, Not a Fan, that we sat in on this morning, that challenged us a lot on those fronts. Doing just enough, or doing just those things that everybody will interpret as being a Christian, just enough to get by. How about we look at it this way? How much time do I spend looking at God compared to how much time I spend looking at other things? Now, it's great. God's created us to have various interests, and to some of us are involved in sports, some of us in other creative hobbies. There's a new website. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's called Facebook. A lot of people seem to spend a lot of time on that. We're on Facebook as well. Actually, if you want to connect with us there, we're there. Man, it seems like there's a lot to do on Facebook. You go to send a message to somebody, and half an hour later, you're still scrolling down. You're like, well, what was I on here for anyways? How much time do we spend looking at God compared with the time we spend in these very, very temporal activities, temporal, non-eternal pursuits? My encouragement to you this morning, not in a legalistic sense, not in a mean sense, but a loving and exhorting, encouraging as one servant of God to others, to his brothers and sisters. Let's be taking the time to be overwhelmed by God in his word. As we close out, I want to share with you two signs that will tell us that we are indeed being overwhelmed by God. If it's not a, got to put my time in today, got to do my X number of minutes, and I'm not going to put a number of minutes there. If we move from that conversation to, how will I know that I'm really being overwhelmed by God? You know, is the house going to shake? Is there going to be smoke? I think there are two signs that we see in this passage. One of them, we see right in verse 5, we've already read it, Isaiah's response, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm toast, I'm finished. This is the end, because I'm a sinner and I've seen God. God's holy. I would suggest to you that one of the ways we know we're being overwhelmed by God like Isaiah was is we become very, I would use the word painstakingly, very aware of our sin. And not only are we aware of our sin, but we have God's perspective on our sin. It was one thing to be aware of our sin. I think most of us are aware of much of our sin. But then we're excusing it away. We're saying, oh, that's just who I am. Love me for who I am. That's how I get when I'm tired. When someone treats me this way, I just can't help myself. Phrases like that. Do we read phrases like that in Isaiah's response? Isaiah owns his sin. He calls it what it is. He uses terminology that God would use. He calls it unclean. I am a man of unclean lips. How far away is that from, I just can't help myself when, or that's how I get when I'm tired, or that's how I am? No, I'm a man of unclean lips. He recognizes and owns his sin. I think we would all agree that, you know, the idea of our sin, that's part of when we initially come to Christ. We think of it in the context of a gospel presentation, hearing the gospel for the first time, coming to God, recognizing our sin, confessing our sin, forsaking, abandoning, getting away from our sin. That doesn't just happen once. There's a key moment when we come to God, but man, And that is the work of God in our lives. Apart from God, we have no hope of recognizing, confessing, and forsaking our sin. But that starts there, and that's just a continual process. And again, as was mentioned already this morning, we're here to be changed. I was in a workshop this week at a conference about change, and some made a statement that really challenged me, something along the lines, we all want to grow, but no one wants to change. Change is a part of being a child of God. Unless you think you're perfect, and if you do, then there's another conversation that you need to have, again, with one of the pastors here, or maybe the people sitting in the pew with you. Change. How do we change? What do we change from? It's our sin. We're growing, becoming more like Christ. That is Christian life. That is the work of God, but I would suggest to you that that is a sign of being overwhelmed by God. Someone who's not overwhelmed by God, he doesn't have a problem with sin. Actually, he's the one asking the question, how close can I get? How close can I get to that thing that Christ died for? You know, the famous, how far is too far, how close is too close? What's the language in God's word? It's flee. Run the other direction. Recognize it as something that Christ died for. What kind of message are we sending when we might be involved in the communion service celebrating Christ's death, that we're willing to mess around with the things that he died for? A person that's overwhelmed by God is aware of his sin. He calls his sin unclean. It's a work of God. Psalm 119 alludes to this. You can just write this down. You have to turn to it. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Do we just memorize verses to get points? Or in a contest, want to win? No. Your word I have hidden in my heart. What's the purpose? That I might not sin against you. A couple other verses in here. After Isaiah's reaction, verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. This language here for us obviously brings our thoughts to the cross. Man, what a celebration. Christ didn't just die. And I want you to hear me say this phrase because it can come out or it can be heard the wrong way. Christ didn't just die to give us a better life. Christ's death gives us a tremendously different life than we ever would have had without. But he didn't die just to add something to those of us who think we're living the American dream and we're just, you know, we're missing something. We've got the white picket fence. We've got the two-car garage. We've got the kids, the job, the hobby. Just missing something. Okay, I need a little Jesus. Now, Christ died to step in our place and receive the wrath that was coming to us for our sin. God makes us aware of our sin. And that deepens our worship of him. And this speaks to that person that may be overwhelmed by himself, thinking he's something else. When we're sitting here, when we have opportunity to worship corporately as a body, we're standing here singing. Who are we singing to? Are we singing praises to ourselves? Man, I made it to church on time. I've got it together. I'm you know, God's pretty lucky to have me. No, we stand here singing praises to God, praises about God, because we are overwhelmed by God. We're aware of our sin. There's another way we'll know we're being overwhelmed by God. We see it here in the end of the section that we're going to cover this morning, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, where are we going? Is it a nice country? It's not Africa, is it? Is it an easy job or a hard job? What do you have for me? What's the job description? Am I going to Italy, please? Is that what Isaiah says? You already know that that's not what Isaiah says. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? It's the voice of the Lord. Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. Well, what on earth does this passage have to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. The servant, the missionary that God uses is the missionary that's overwhelmed by God. So the missionary is not going because he's overwhelmed by God. He's going for some other far lesser reason than God's glory. But the servant that God uses is a servant that is overwhelmed by God. I know when a missionary speaks, or at least when I was growing up, I heard a lot of missionary speakers. There was always kind of this fear in the back of your mind, Lord. And they even wrote a kind of a, I guess it would be satirical, humorous song about it. Please don't send me to Africa. Have you ever heard that song? When a missionary is speaking, there's kind of this fear in the back of everybody's mind. Lord, please don't call me to Africa. So your kind of prayer is to make it through the message without feeling called to go to Africa. But this passage has everything to do with missions, has everything to do with you as a servant of God. God may not call you, as he calls some, as he moves some to move their family halfway around the world and be involved in planting churches in Europe or in Africa or in Asia. Is there a need for men and women, for servants that are overwhelmed by God to be serving God throughout the world? Absolutely. I'm not going to be the missionary that stands up here and says, oh, we're good, because tomorrow morning he'll be on the phone with my boss at the mission. I'll be in trouble. Is there a need for overwhelmed servants of God, servants overwhelmed by God, serving God throughout the world? Absolutely. But is there a need for servants that are overwhelmed by God here in Towanda, here in this local church, in your home, in your school, in your place of work? Absolutely. The servant that God uses, the father, the husband, the wife, the mother, the son, the daughter, the school teacher, the employer, the missionary, pastor, that God uses is the one that is overwhelmed by God. How will we know we're overwhelmed by God? Is it a once-in-a-lifetime thing? No, absolutely not. We get distracted. There are so many distractions in this world. We have to fight for it. With God's help, we can. The servant that is used by God is a servant that is overwhelmed by God. How will we know it's happening? We know it's happening when we're aware of our sin. When we're aware that we're sinners, we call it what God calls it. Don't excuse it away. And we'll know it's happening when we are growing, when we're increasing in our joyful obedience to God, our joyful submission to God. I don't know what your background is, and I don't know how much interaction you have with our culture, but would you agree with me that the world seems to think that this book was written because God is against people having a good time? That God tried to think of every possible scenario and mention it in here so that no one ever has fun? Would you agree that most people think that? And I would say that, and I think some of that may have come into the church with some of us. God gave us the commandments that are in here. He's a creator of life. He created this world, created humans. He says, okay, I've created life. Here's how life really is lived to its fullest. And what have we done as a human race? We've said, we've got it from here. I heard one pastor say it this way. We don't want God. We just want his stuff. We'll know we're being overwhelmed by God when we're aware of our sin and when we are joyfully obeying God, because we realize that God knows that there's nothing in this whole universe that will give us greater joy than our obedience of him. We obey for his glory, for our good. Stop thinking of God as this God that's against fun or against having a good time. Start realizing that God is a loving Father. God is concerned with his glory, and God is concerned with our good. Our greatest good is in him, in obeying him. So we'll know we're being overwhelmed by God, and we're aware of our sin, we're growing in our joyful obedience. Let's pray and thank the Lord for his word. Lord, thank you that we have what we need for life and to glorify you. Lord, I pray that this morning, that this passage would encourage us, would exhort us to check our thoughts, to check how we view check our perspective on you and on time with you, and if our thinking about spending time with you is wrong this morning and needs to change, I pray that you would help us to change. We are here to be changed. We know we change not because we exercise some type of incredible willpower over ourselves, but we change when your Spirit uses your word to change us, and we invite that change this morning. I pray that would take place. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us everything we have, blessings, both those spiritual and those more tangible, practical ones. And thank you that there is true joy in obedience of you. In Christ's name, amen.
Psalm 99 says, "The Lord is great, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for it is holy." Thank you, Daniel, for this challenge this morning. We certainly can very easily be overwhelmed by urgent things in our lives, but in reality, not really important things when it comes to eternity. May God give us the wisdom to know the difference. We need to be surrendered to him, as Daniel indicated, recognizing our sinfulness before a holy God, and surrendered to him to serve him faithfully. Father, we thank you so much for this time together this morning. I pray that you would challenge each of our hearts. You know each heart. You know the things that distract us. You know the things that overwhelm us. You know the things that take our attention away from you. I pray that each of us as individuals this morning would just humble ourselves before you, examine our own hearts. We have come to be changed, to meet with that awesome God, the creator of the universe. May you indeed change us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. We can be of help to you this morning if you've been challenged in your heart. You have questions. You want to know more about what we've spoken of this morning. Please see us before you go. Give us a call on the phone. We're here to help you. We want to be overwhelmed by God. Shall we stand? Father, we do thank you this morning that we've been able to come together as a body in Christ and meet with you. We thank you, Father, for your love, and we can trust you because you do love us. May we in turn love you as we humble ourselves before you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. May God bless you.